15. The tempo of the rousing march that welcomed Supreme Commander Nas Choka aboard the Yuuzhan Vong warship Yamka was kept by warriors with drums, but the theme itself was supplied by a menagerie of bioengineered insects and avians, droning, trumpeting, and whistling from within cages and atop perches situated throughout the great hold. Enormous Villip choir transparencies broke the obsidian monotony of the starboard bulkhead, providing a star-strewn panorama of the anchored fleet, as well as a distant view of the hut space world known as Runaway Prince. Remade for the sowing of Yorick coral, Villip shrubs, and other necessities of war. To the ships that resembled asteroids, marine behemoths, and tumbled and faceted cabochons had been added an even more massive and sinister specimen. A flattened lapidary orb of glossy black, from the dense center of which spiraled half a dozen arms, as if in dark imitation of the galaxy the Yuuzhan Vong were determined to conquer. Supreme Commander Choka, along with his commanders and foremost subalterns, moved on levitated Dovan basil cushions in tiered heights above the deck. In advance of them floated four smaller cushions, their diminutive riders screened by flutters, living creatures that resembled squares of patterned cloth. Arrayed on either side of the arriving group stood 5,000 warriors, dressed in battle tunics and armed with amphistaffs and kufis. Confined to a small space among the starboard side group, cowered 200 prisoners taken from Gindine and already purified for sacrifice. Bony growths affixed to voice boxes and jaws prevented them from giving voice to their fear. Behind Choka marched troops of his own command, their precision footfalls crushing an ankle-deep carpet of maroon flowers, whose aroma, wafted about by the rhythmic beating of wings, had aroused the insects to song. Their stridulations intensifying and diminishing, the insects' sustained notes lifted from an otherworldly scale. One moment the march was fiery and inspiring, the next it was a somber dirge. Opposite the arrival bay, at the far end of the cloyingly perfumed parade corridor, waited Commander Malik Carr and his chief subalterns, a coven of priests, and off to one side, Executor Gnome Anor, all revealed in tattooed and modified splendor. As the train of elite warriors neared the dais, the drumbeats and insect voices ceased, and Malik Carr stepped to the lip of the raised platform. "Welcome, Supreme Commander Choka," he crowed, his augmented voice resounding from the arching ceiling and tympanic bulkheads. "The Yamka and all here gathered are yours to command." A wrathful droning filled the hold. Simultaneously, 10,000 fists snapped crisply to their opposite shoulders in salute. Supreme Commander Choka, military commander of the recently arrived Spiral Arm World Ship, transferred himself from the Dovan basil cushion to an elevated seat at the center of the dais. While the four trailing hover cushions lined up behind him, priests, shapers, and others arranged themselves on the floor to both sides. Only when they were settled did Malik Carr and his contingent follow suit. On the deck, the warriors bade their amphistaffs to coil around their bare right arms and dropped ceremoniously to one knee, heads bowed in deference. The drumming and stridulations resumed, playing to the body as well as the ear. With five loud fanfares, some of the insects rested, but heroic bursts were immediately loosed by other insects as if in reply. The counterpoint continued for some moments. Then, as Choka raised an ophidiform baton of command, the hold fell preternaturally silent. "I bring salutations from War Master Tsavong La," he intoned. "He commends you on the work you have done in preparing the way, and he looks forward to the time when he may join you in battle." Choka's modest stature did not lessen his power. Narrow-hipped, but braced by thick muscular legs, he sat rigidly on the provided chair of carved and polished coral like a statue himself, while black-feathered avians cooled the air around him with their great wings. Facial tattoos, flattened nose, and decurved eyes above large bluish sacks afforded him a regal demeanor. His unadorned tunic was offset by a blood-red command cloak that fell from the tops of his shoulders, and rings of gaudy variety grew from his fingers and banded his wrists and upper arms. Black throughout, his long, fine hair was combed straight back from a sloping forehead and reached nearly to his waist. "I, too, congratulate you on your successful harvest," he went on after a moment. "You have acquitted yourselves well. Your captives from Abroa Sky, Ord Mantell, and Gindine will bloody your nomination. But before we enact the sacrifice of the captives, or learn from Commander Malik Carr the status of the invasion, we will use this moment to reward some of you for the measure of your commitment." The High Priest who accompanied Choka rose to his feet and spoke. "We thank the gods for delivering us into this promised domain. May the blood you shed purify and cleanse it for the coming of Supreme Overlord Shimra. We honor the gods with the nurturing sap that flows within us, so that they might thrive and grant that we might continue to caretake their creations. All we do in emulation and in veneration of them." The priest turned to the cushions that hovered behind Choka and motioned with his hand. The flutters lifted off, exposing 4-meter-high religious statues. The first represented Yun Yuzhan, the Cosmic Lord, absent those parts of himself he had sacrificed to create the lesser gods and the Yuzhan Vong. The second and third statues represented Yun Yamka, the Slayer, and Yun Harla, the Cloaked Goddess. The fourth, and undeniably the most grotesque, was Yun Shuno, the many-eyed patron deity of the Shamed Ones, those whose bodies had rejected the living implants due either to a lack of preparation or to ambitious overreaching on the part of the candidate. Choka's subordinate commander now rose. "Subaltern Doshao," he began, "for his actions at the world called Dantooine. Subaltern Sataak, for his actions at the world called Ithor. Subaltern Harme, for his actions at the world called Abroa Sky. And Subaltern Tugorn, both for his work in sowing the world called Bel-Kaden and his actions at the world called Gindine." He paused briefly, then added, "Step forward and be escalated." As the 4 lesser grade officers were ascending the dais, a quartet of implanters scuttled from recesses in the throne. When the candidates had arranged themselves in a line facing the Supreme Commander, the implanters took up positions behind each of them. A variation on the creature responsible for outfitting captives with crippling growths, the implanters were small, gray, and six-legged. Like their cousins, they were equipped with botryoidal optical organs and a quartet of appendages efficient for slicing through flesh and tucking surge coral into open wounds. But where the calcificator made use of bits of itself, the implanter carried whatever enhancements were necessary for the ritual escalation. Each of the 4 that began slow climbs up the naked backs of the subalterns bore 2 finger-length horns of coral whose pointed tips were slightly hooked. The implanters didn't begin their work until they had secured themselves to the back of the subalterns' necks, from where they could reach to both shoulders. Employing the sharper of their appendages, they made deep cuts through the tops of the shoulder muscles, clear down to the bones that formed part of the ball and socket joints. When the incisions were complete and acolytes had collected the flowing blood in bowls, the implanters inserted the hooked horns into the cut. Employing a resinous exudate, they produced to weld the horns to the shoulder bones and to seal the wounds around them. At the same time, a slug-like Ungdin wove a helix trail through the candidate's feet, sopping up whatever blood the acolytes failed to capture. Though perspiration ran freely and legs trembled, not one of the junior officers cried out in pain or so much as grimaced. Pleased with their sang-froid, Choka gestured to 4 of his aides, who hurried forward with neatly folded and differently colored command cloaks. By then the acolytes had conveyed the blood-filled bowls to the High Priest, and while he dribbled the contents of the bowls over the idols, Choka's aides unfolded the cloaks and hung them from the newly implanted hooked protrusions. The drummers beat out a short tattoo, then stopped. "You are escalated and remade," Choka pronounced. "And now that you wear the cloak of command, you will be given your own ships, made sector chiefs, and tasked with overseeing and re-educating the populace of those worlds that constitute your domain." "For the glory of the gods," warriors and officers alike shouted. Choka watched the promoted warriors step down from the dais, then turned slightly in the direction of Malik Carr. "One more matter before we proceed, Commander." He looked past Malik Carr to where Gnome Anor was seated. "Come forward, Executor." More flamboyantly attired than anyone in the hold, Gnome Anor rose and walked slowly across the platform. Opposite Nas Choka, he inclined his head in a nod. As a member of the Intendant caste, though of the lowest rank, he was not obliged to offer salute. "Since you and I do not hail from the same order, I am not entitled to escalate you. But know this, Executor. Were I so entitled, I would be more inclined to demote than promote you." Clearly surprised, Gnome Anor did not respond, though his mouth twitched several times in rapid succession. "Your actions, Executor, have been closely monitored and widely discussed, and it is the opinion of many in Shimra's court that you have strayed from your assigned course. First, you chose to ally yourself with the Praetorite Vong, who believed they could spearhead an invasion of this magnitude without suffering tragic consequences." "I was not allied with them," Gnome Anor said when he could. "My assignment was to destabilize the New Republic in ways I saw fit. That is what I did among the Imperial Moffs, as well as in the Osarian system, and have since done, under different guises, in a half-dozen other systems." Choka shot him a gimlet stare. "Who helped the Praetorite Vong obtain a Yamisk, and an imperfect one at that?" Gnome Anor swallowed hard. "I may have mentioned something. You facilitated them. Only from a certain point of view." "Don't try your double-speak on me, Executor. You may have managed to distance yourself from Prefect Dagara and the rest by escaping the price they paid for their miscalculation. But you cannot deny engineering the plan that ended in the death of the priestess Aelan, daughter of the High Priest Jakan, who, I might add, is most displeased with you." "There is no proof that Aelan or her mascot Dragir are dead. Even so, I can scarcely be held accountable for what happened to them." "You take no blame for employing agents who act without orders from their handler?" Gnome Anor added force to his voice. "My agents were endeavoring to please me, us, by returning Aelan. I had no knowledge of their designs until it was too late." "Is it true that Aelan was to have assassinated a number of Jedi knights?"
"It is."
Choka tempered his voice with curiosity. "Why this fascination with the Jedi, Executor? I, for one, am not convinced they pose a serious threat to our conquest."
"It is not the Jedi who pose a threat, so much as the Force, the mystical power they embody."
"The Force is nothing more than an idea," Choka said loudly, "and the best way to extinguish an idea is by replacing it with a better one, such as we bring." Gnome Anor risked a patronizing sniff.
"As you say, Supreme Commander."
Choka glowered. "Now I learn from Commander Malik Carr that you were instrumental in gaining the allegiance of the creatures that occupy this space, these huts." Gnome Anor's genuine eye narrowed.
"The huts are critical to a plan devised by Commander Malik Carr and myself to force a significant defeat on the New Republic. In fact," he tilted his head to one side, "you arrive at an auspicious moment, because part of that plan is shortly to be put into effect. If you would care to accompany us into battle, you could observe firsthand our strategy for conquering the core worlds in advance of the arrival of War Master Tsavong La."
Choka took a moment to weigh the consequences of such an action, then grunted an affirmative. "I will go. But let me caution you, Executor, about the perils of ambition. It's obvious that you are hungry for escalation, but there are no shortcuts to the rank of consul, to say nothing of prefect." He gestured over his shoulder.
Look to Yun Shuno for counsel, executor. Escalation is awarded only to those who have discharged their obligations in service to the gods. You appear to act in your own behalf, as if possessed of a personal stake in the results. He leaned slightly forward. Or is it this galaxy, executor, and the heathen beliefs of those who populate it that have corrupted you? Gnome Anor held his gaze, wishing he had filled his empty eye socket with a venom-spitting Pleiarian bowl. I care only for what this galaxy is capable of providing the Yuuzhan Vong. He cast a glance at Malik Kaur. With all due respect, Commander, our target awaits. Malik Kaur nodded to Choka. He speaks the truth. The Supreme Commander folded his arms. Let us enact the sacrifices and see what Commander Malik Kaur and Executor Gnome Anor have masterminded. He pointed to the knot of prisoners. Bring the captives forward. In sacrificing them, perhaps we can help ensure Executor Gnome Anor a much-needed victory.